Blessed are you, O Lord God, King of the universe, for you sustain our lives and make our hearts joyful. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I'll confess that I've been thinking about other things. Like many of you, this pandemic has upended my routines and daily life. Granted, I'm incredibly thankful to have a job that affords me flexibility, but that doesn't mean that it's all been easy. I've been thinking about how frustrating it is that I can't meet with you all for coffee or lunch. I've been thinking about how much I would just like to wake up in the morning and come to the office, because I really love my job and being here. But I've been home with our daughters since mid-March. And again, I'm thankful that I am able to work from home, but I've been thinking about how old that's getting, and how balancing my duties to the parish and my attention to a nearly 5- and 8-year-old is a balancing act that I'm never quite sure about. I've been thinking about how exhausted I am by the partisanship that is destroying civility and prosperity in our nation. I've been thinking about my fears around what happens if we have a contested election in November. I've been thinking about how anxious I am about our stewardship campaign this year. Because of the pandemic, the majority of the congregation has not been physically present in 7 months. Yes, we've had lots of spiritual connections, but how does that translate to stewardship? I've been wondering about that. I've been doing a lot of thinking about what the future of the church will look like as we slowly emerge from this pandemic. Every time I am around other people, I'm constantly thinking about masks and distancing and hand washing, wanting to avoid transmission of the coronavirus. And amid all these things, I've been thinking about how drained I am. These are the sorts of things that I've been thinking about. And all of those thoughts have meant that I haven't had as much mental space to think about what is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, and commendable. We heard St. Paul say not once, but twice, that we are to rejoice. With so many distractions, I haven't been rejoicing. Maybe you've had similar sorts of thoughts over the past few months, and like me, haven't been as joyful as we might be in light of the good news of God's love for us, of Jesus' resurrection and the Spirit's presence with us. There's a novel in which a character encounters a Christian who doesn't seem to be as joyful as one might expect given the good news of the gospel and says, "You say that you're a Christian, then where the devil is your joy?" It's a good question. Are we Christians known for our joy or for something else? After all, the word gospel literally means good news. The gospel is the fresh, startling, urgent, and joyful declaration that God so loves the world that he sent his Son into the world that we might partake of his abundant life. This is what Pope Francis wrote about in the 2013 address called Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel. But life has a way of distracting us from this joy and shifting our attention elsewhere. Certainly, St. Paul knew about these distractions. This letter to the Philippians was written while Paul was in prison. The future of his missionary work was in jeopardy, as was his life. And as we heard in today's passage, there was some sort of conflict going on in Philippi between Euodia and Syntyche. He certainly had distracting thoughts surrounding him that would suck the joy right out of most of us. And yet he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." And then he says, Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know how your minds work, but for me, being told not to worry doesn't just automatically do the trick. Knowing this about human nature, St. Paul then gives us some guidance on how to focus on joy. We are to think about things that are true, meaning things that are essential and unwavering, things like God's love for us. We are to think about what is honorable, which is pretty much a way of saying stop watching so much news. Focus on what is just and righteous, pure and holy. Consider that which is pleasing. And here the word is related to friendship. So think about the things that we hold in common, things like our faith. Think about things that are commendable and excellent. That is, things that are virtuous and good and worthy of sharing with others. Focus on these sorts of good and holy things. And by giving us such specific instructions, St. Paul really is helping us to rejoice. We know from behavioral psychology that our thoughts really can change our moods. For example, if you're feeling a little bit blue, making yourself smile, even if you don't feel like it, actually tends to make you feel happier. The brain knows that smiling is a good thing, and so endorphins are released when we smile. So even if we didn't start out happy, a smile can get us there. It can be the same thing with spending a few minutes a day in silent contemplation. It lowers our heart rate and calms us down. Singing hymns, even if you're at home and off key, can do wonders for your soul. Focus on these things, and the joy of the gospel is not far behind. Last week on Sunday afternoon, I knew that all of these various thoughts that I've been having were taking a toll on me, and I felt run down. Thankfully, I am blessed with a supportive wife who told me to take some time for myself. So I went to a place that often helps me to slow down and connect with God, the Fred Stanback Ecological Preserve. There are some wonderful trails to walk there. It gave me the time and the space to simply be instead of trying to do. Now, it doesn't always happen this way, but God gave me a sign while I was on the walk. At one place on the trail, there was a large, large tree that had fallen, but was suspended across the path because it landed on a really pretty small tree on the other side of the path. And that kept the large tree from falling to the ground and was suspended above the trail. Now, before I walked under this large trunk, I gave it a good look to make sure it seemed safe because, well, this is 2020 and you can't be too sure about anything. Now, I don't always receive revelations like this, but I did this time. And at least to me, the message was clear. Small things can bear tremendous weight. All of those things that I had been thinking and worrying about are heavy. But in thinking about what is true and honorable and just and pure and excellent can be enough to sustain us even when we are carrying very heavy burdens. By doing small things to help us remember the grace of God, things like just going on a walk, or saying a prayer, or listening to music, these things can bear much weight. For indeed, Jesus is with us and helps us to carry our heavy burdens. A focus on Jesus really is what makes the difference here. What makes this rejoicing possible, even when we are dealing with a lot, is the fact that, as St. Paul writes, the Lord is near. We are never, never alone. And this is why we can have trust and hope that all shall be well. This is not because everything will turn out the way we want it to, but because the God of peace is always near us. And notice that St. Paul does not tell us to do what is honorable or just or commendable. No, we are to think about these things. Jesus is the one who does what is excellent and worthy of praise. We don't have to be our own saviors. We don't have to earn the peace of God which passes all understanding. It's already been given to us. We can think on these things and be transformed by the grace, mercy, and peace of Jesus. Consider the parable that we heard from Matthew. It's a fascinating parable that deserves far more attention than I'm going to give it. And I want to skip to the part about the robe. One scholar has noted that for the early church, this symbol would have been unmistakable. The robe is the baptismal garment. Baptism is about pure grace. It does not matter how dirty you are when you come to the waters of baptism. God makes us all clean. It doesn't matter how many mistakes we have made along the way. There is no quiz required for baptism, and it can never be revoked. In a world where we think that we are supposed to go out and make a difference, baptism counters that it is actually we who are made different. This is why at St. Luke's we do not invite people to come and make a difference. We invite them to come and see the difference that Christ makes. And of course, what we will soon discover is that the difference that Christ makes is not just out there, but it happens in our hearts and in our minds as we come to know and trust the peace of God that passes all understanding. And this difference-making love is given to us by a God who chooses us, who invites us, who clothes us in grace. The gospel is about exuberant joy, a joy that is lively, growing, and overflowing. Now, joy, of course, it doesn't take away sorrow and anxiety. But as the great 20th century theologian Karl Barth said, joy is a continual, defiant, nevertheless. And this can be the case because Jesus, the crucified and risen one, is always with us. As this week's collect puts it, grace always precedes and follows us. We are surrounded by God's love, and so we rejoice in response. And that word rejoice is kairo in Greek, which is a very festive and celebratory word. It's also the same word family as grace. And you can even hear how kairo is related to another word, eucharisto, where we get our word Eucharist, which of course is all about grace and thanksgiving. And the Eucharist really is a wonderful reminder and definition of joy, as it is a meal of fellowship, of Christ's presence, of assurance and hope of the resurrection, even in the midst of the suffering and difficulty of the cross. There is so much out there to distract us, to divide us, to disenchant us, to dishearten us. It is a heavy time, and many of us have been carrying burdens through all of this. But focusing on the fact that the God of peace is near to us gives us support to sustain us. My dear brothers and sisters, think about the grace, mercy, and peace of the Eucharist. Think about the difference that Christ has made in your life through St. Luke's. Think about the things of our faith that are good and commendable and pure and true. And in doing so, we will encounter the joy of the gospel. Sometime this week, focus on something that gives you joy and find rest for your soul. Do something that makes you aware of God's presence with you. Think on the holy things of God. Let your heart and your soul sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. and heaven and nature sing. Amen.